Welcome to the Milestone Mama Podcast. I'm your host, Chelsea Hollis, wife, boy mom, and former fitness instructor turned photographer, educator, and birth doula. Becoming a mom in 2020 completely changed my life. And even though it was the greatest joy I've ever felt, it definitely came with some challenges that no one could have ever prepared me for. But I found so much healing and community, and that's why this podcast was born. Tune in each week as we uncover all of the nuances of being a mom, from pregnancy, birth, postpartum, and everything in between. If you're ready to connect, to grow, to learn, and to feel inspired, seen, and heard, then you've come to the right place. And I'm so glad you're here, Mama. Let's go ahead and get this thing started.
All right. Well, welcome back, everybody, to Milestone Mama. I'm so excited to have my friend Marissa on today, who is a fellow doula. So welcome, Marissa. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited to chat more. We connected on, I think, like a doula Facebook group, right? That's how we originally crossed paths.
Yes. And yeah. You had reached out to me to be your backup for a patient or a client.
Yeah. So. So small world, and so fun how we make connections this way. I'm excited to dive into a little bit more of your story. So before we do that, why don't you just go ahead and like intro yourself to everyone listening and let us know a little bit about you and your family and what you do and all that.
Okay, so I am Marissa, and I'm a doula in Eastern North Carolina. We are stationed here. We're active duty military, originally from Arkansas. That's where I was born and raised. Had my three boys there, and we got here in 2020. So it's been crazy, but at the same time, North Carolina is pretty similar to Arkansas, so it wasn't like a big shock as far as weather and all that kind of stuff. It's pretty similar. The only good thing about North Carolina is the beach. We don't have that in Arkansas, so that's been nice.
Yeah.
But all three of my boys were hospital births, but birthed completely differently. And it was just kind of that learn-as-you-go type thing. Every birth and every pregnancy, I was figuring out something new and researching more. And so that's what kind of led me into looking into being a doula. And I had my bachelor's in exercise science, but we decided to have children back to back to back. So that got put on hold. And I just didn't feel like that was still what I wanted to do. And so I just felt like God led me into this path, and it's been great so far.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And I love a fellow exercise science friend. That's what my degree was in too. I think we talked about that when we were on the phone not too long ago. And it's just cool to see where our paths take us and how, like, you know, one road always kind of leads to another. And I always talk about this pretty often, but it's like when you're in college, even like high school leading up to college and in college taking these classes, you're almost under this impression that, like, if you're there to go to school for this, then this is what you're going to do for the rest of your life. And like, this is the career path you can take with this type of degree, and here are all your options. And it just felt very like black and white, like this is what you do. And then you graduate with a degree and you enter the real world and you realize, like, oh no, it's like, that's not how this works at all. Like, the world is your oyster. You can really take any of your expertise and experience and use it however the heck you want. And so there's definitely so many things I think that can go naturally into like the exercise anatomy side of things when it comes to birth, which is kind of cool. So I love that.
Yeah. I would have never thought, I mean, like you said, in my degree, like last year, you know, or even the last semester, they're telling you like, these are the jobs that you could have, you know, if you don't go get your graduate or your doctorate degree, you know, you don't go to grad school, then these are it. And I wish there would have been more explained, because I mean, we did end up having kids back to back to back, so it worked out, and it was all in the right plan. But at the same time, like maybe I would have pursued it earlier and at least had that certification available, like in between kids could have been working and stuff. And I just didn't even know anything about it until I started having kids of my own, and realized how important this was. And like you said too, like I'm able to use my anatomy and even like the exercise portion of it to help moms that are wanting to incorporate that during their pregnancy.
Yeah.
So I am using it, just not to the extent that I thought I would be back,
Right.
7 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, same. I did work in fitness for I guess like 6 years or so. Because I was still kind of teaching at a studio here and there, even when I stopped working full time in it. But yeah, you're right. I think part of it too is just so much has changed in the last like even 5 years, but like especially 10 years and plus in just the opportunity and like the digital space. And like I think a lot of things are moving towards like you can get certifications and learn virtually, and there's just so much more out there. So it's really cool. And I don't even know doulas were a thing really until I don't know, long after I graduated, I had a friend who I worked with who experienced a stillbirth, and she was telling me all about this doula who she had who specialized in, like being a bereavement doula because she had been through so much of loss herself. And I just remember thinking, wow, like that is an incredible person. That's like an angelic person that would like dedicate her life to that because that is like such a hard space to be in. But anyway, all that just to say that was the first time I even heard of a doula. And I was like, what the heck does that even mean? And she explained it to me. I was like, wow, that's really incredible. And so that kind of stuck with me when I ended up getting pregnant. And then when we were talking about our birth experience and what we were going to plan for, I was like, yeah, I think we need one of those for sure. And after I saw how like pivotal and necessary it was for us, I was like, I want to do this for people too, because I think it's so valuable and so important. And we're going to touch on this today, but there's just so much that isn't talked about and isn't like provided to pregnant mamas as a resource that can get missed and is really frustrating. So we'll get into all that though. Well, I was going to ask you how you got into the line of work, but I guess going back to how all three of your births differentiated, you said they're all hospital births. What kind of made you interested in the idea of like natural physiological birth versus maybe what you experienced previously?
So my research in birth didn't go beyond like what my doctor told me the first go around. And it wasn't that I wasn't open. Like, I'm always open to receiving new information, but we started the first part of the pregnancy in Mississippi and had to move back, or we moved back to Arkansas to be close to family. So I didn't have like that tight relationship with any doctor. And when we moved to Arkansas, we still were in a place that wasn't close to family, so I didn't even know of any doctors personally to be able to feel comfortable with. So I just didn't ask very many questions. I did what they told me to do. And it wasn't until I was actually in labor with our first where, you finally get to see like how you can work during birth and how it is really going to go. And the nurse that I had was amazing, but our experience overall was like very traumatic. He almost ended up in a C-section, and they had my legs. It was a teaching hospital too, so that we didn't have a birth plan, like we had nothing. So they had students coming in and out, just very overwhelming. They had my hips all crooked, and I kept telling them like I'm in pain, and they were like, well, you're supposed to be in pain. And I was like, no, not that kind of pain. Like, my body is not situated right. And they wouldn't allow me to like switch positions, just all this crazy stuff. And he ended up being overdue, but in the NICU. So on top of that, with your first pregnancy, your first child, and then ends up in the NICU when you think you're in the clear from all that, being born after your estimated due date, I was just like in shock and could not process. So then my next one came along and it was a little bit better. I had a doctor that actually my mom had with me. And so he was older and experienced and super gentle and super supportive of what I wanted to do. And I just assumed that was because of his experience and probably getting a lot of moms like that. Even though he was a doctor who had a very high C-section rate, and that's not something I ever thought I would have to do. I thought, well, he's still, you know, listening to me and understanding what I want. So that birth was a little bit better, but our third was actually our first, like all natural, no medicine, no interventions beyond what we had outlined, in our birth plan. And our nurse then was actually someone in my family. So that helped because I knew she knew where I stood on all of my wants and needs. And even though she may not agree, she was on board with the way I wanted to do things. So it was really just my past experiences that led me to want to do natural birth. And that was my best pregnancy, best birth that I have had. I always wanted to have more kids. Four kids is what I had always said. But I always had this fear up until, I don't know, probably 2-ish years ago now that like something would happen. And so that's why we didn't do a home birth and we were like 30 minutes away from the hospital and felt more comfortable doing it there. But I was able to walk around, you know, be on a ball, all these different things that I was just blessed to have a hospital that was okay and a staff that was okay with everything I wanted to do. So it was just my previous experience that moved me into like the natural birth community. And since then, like now I look back, I'm like, man, I could have done it, you know, and I know some moms go through that, just processing their births and all of that. But at the same time, like if you can find a hospital that's okay with how you want to do things, then that's amazing too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what like part of the main meat of today's conversation that I want to get into is just really the lack of like education and almost encouragement and support of it. And it's very like interesting to me and almost what's the word, like contradicting, because when you think about it, it's like if this actually is linked to X outcomes, X safer outcomes, why is this not being more encouraged, right? And that's not to say that everybody has to birth a certain way. Like if moms have no natural to do that or have no desire to have a natural birth, like that's completely valid and fine. But for the people that do, there's almost this like, I don't know if you experienced this, but when I would tell people that's what I was going to do my best to have experience wise, I would get met with like, well, you're probably just going to want the epidural. So go in with an open mind, or like, you know, the typical, well, you're not going to get a trophy. So like, why would you do that to yourself? Or, you know, all the things that are said. And I always wondered like, why is that? And why is this so not like frowned upon, but you almost feel like this projection of, well, you're going to just want this anyway, because it's impossible. Like you're almost fed this narrative that no, this is how you birth. You go in, you get your epidural or you get your section or whatever it might be. And that's just the way it is, because that's how you have to do it. Otherwise it's like in the movies and you're going to be miserable and you're going to feel like you're going to die. And while I'm sure some have had traumatic experiences that way, especially the moms who go into their birth with a plan like to have medication and they don't get that, like I think that's very traumatic if you don't go in with that plan and that preparation and that mindset, I can absolutely see where that would be not a good experience. But anyway, all that just to say, it's so frustrating to see the lack of like support around it, especially from like, it makes sense from the medical community because they just view birth differently. They manage it instead of just like allowing it to happen. In most scenarios, mm-hmm. they're treating it to prevent an outcome versus treat an ailment, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I always go to the common versus normal thing because we didn't really get any pushback, but I think it was because we had plans to have him in the hospital. Like, I think if I would have decided to have him natural at home, like, I would have had people question. Not necessarily people close to me, but I can see people in my family or, like, extended friends just be like, that's not safe, you know, or say whatever they needed to say. But I think it goes back to common versus normal because so many things that we think are normal are actually not normal. They're just common. And if we actually just dug a little bit, we would see how that is so wrong and how most of the things that people do on a daily basis when it comes to birth and pregnancy or even just medical interventions, period, it's more the common aspect. Like, it's common to take this drug or it's common to do this certain thing. Or it's common to go to the doctor for this rather than it being normal. And we've gotten so reliant on a system that I feel like does not want to actually get to the root cause of things and don't want to actually support the like choice of the individual. And more or less pushes what they would rather them do than the patient and what they feel is best. And there are medical emergencies or situations where you do need to listen to your doctor. You know, mm-hmm. there are definitely times for that. But I think birth has just got skewed into this like narrow column of, well, you have to do this because if you don't, like, you will not be able to have this baby. Or if you don't, then your baby is going to end up as a C-section or in the NICU. Or, you know, I can't stand your baby's too big. That drives me nuts. it's hard to wrap your mind around it, though, because you've learned and heard those terms your whole life. And then when you actually get pregnant, and you start to look into things, or if you get a doula and they start to tell you about these things so you can look into them, you're mind blown and you don't know how to process it because of the lack of encouragement and education around natural birth.
Yeah. And you're right. What you said about like how it's just become this like narrow column. It's almost like every pregnancy is treated as if X, Y, and Z is going to happen rather than like if it's going to happen, which of course you want a provider that is equipped to help you if those case scenarios were to arise. But if they're not, our birth shouldn't be treated as if it fits some sort of statistic or a mold. I think that's where things get skewed, is that like birth is so nuanced. Every single pregnancy, every single mom, every single baby is so different, and it should be treated that way in the way that we're cared for as well. Because even coming down to like, what is the I'm losing my train of thought here, the Friedman's curve, right? The idea that your labor is supposed to progress by 1 centimeter per hour is the most like outdated evidence. And it's not really evidence-based, the most outdated like protocol out there, because it's so not true. There's so many other factors at play, like your effacement and the position of your cervix and how low the baby's head is. And then, yeah, your dilation, all these different things working at play. You might get a little here, a little there before baby makes their way down and out. But then, for example, like, you know, if moms are in labor for a certain amount of time, they get diagnosed with failure to progress, even if baby isn't in any distress, and end up in sections that they might not have mm-hmm. otherwise wanted. So yeah, that's where I feel like it gets frustrating and missed. And most women, like I walked in, I was glad I ended up doing the research, but before I was like, I don't know, 20 something weeks pregnant, I was like, I'm just going to go in and get an epidural. And like, why would I be in pain if I don't have to be? I'm just going to not set a plan, not have expectations, because I don't want them to get ruined. Because these are all the things that I was told by everybody else mm-hmm. and like society and the mainstream birth world. Right. And then I started looking into things and I was like, wow, actually, this isn't what I want. Like, there's actually options out there, and it doesn't have to be this like one size fits all scenario there. But if I had stayed in that mindset, I totally would have just gone in and been like, yeah, I trust you, whatever you say. And if you have that relationship with your provider, that's excellent. Like, that's, you want that trust. But I think it's also important to know what your options are and how you feel about all the different scenarios that could come up, or all the different choices and decisions you might have to make, so that you then can walk out of your experience feeling in control, or at least that you made all the best decisions that you could with the circumstances that you're given, even if it doesn't go perfectly to plan. Like, that's the thing, right? People say like, don't make a birth plan because it's going to go out the window. That's not the point of the birth plan. The point of the birth plan is not for everything to go according to what you wrote down. It's so that you come out of it feeling like you made those calls and you made the right decision for your baby and your body and your birth experience, to have a more positive view of it, because there's so much more to it than that matters than just, I'm using air quotes, healthy mom, healthy baby.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my question for you is, as a doula and the clients that you've had, what have you found that people find like the most surprising about birth, or like maybe like the different epiphanies that you've seen your clients have?
Yeah. I mean, I have so far only had, well, a few clients that are just like their first time birth. But with that, I have a client right now who is just very open to learning and asking questions. And it's so nice to see that, because she's literally only 5 weeks pregnant and asking me questions every day. And I'm like, this is awesome, because yes, this is what I'm here for. First of all, I think doulas get the question a lot, like, well, what is a doula? You know, like, what does a doula even do? And why do I need to pay money for a support person? But it's so much more than that, because we're that, I feel like that bridge between like them and the provider, that if the provider is not giving them the full like risk to benefit analysis on things, like, we can point them in the direction to research and mm-hmm. to guide them to look into things further. And I love being that person. So I don't know if I've seen like aha moments. I've definitely had people like ask questions more about things, especially managing pain from like a mental aspect. I think mm-hmm. a lot of moms think it's just like physical pain. It's going to hurt, that, like you had mentioned, I'm going to get the epidural because why would I want to be in pain? Like, who wants to do that?
Right.
But if you can get over that and understand like to take it like one contraction at a time and like be present in your birth, and especially from a like faith aspect, like keeping God in the center of it, you know, being able to pray with your spouse, your doula, you know, during the middle of your birth, having your affirmations, having the music, you know, that roots you in scripture, all of these different things, I think can help you get through the pain. And I've definitely had clients that aren't faith-based, and there's other options as far as getting over that like mental part of it. But I think that's the biggest aha moment for people, is the pain, because mm-hmm. pain is such a big turn off, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word to say, but people don't want to be in pain. So they just think they can't do it. And I've even gotten some that are like that go from, it's hospital, I probably can't do natural birth either, so I'm gonna get the epidural. And then they'll turn around and be like, oh no, now that I've looked into this and, just refocused and prayed about it, I think I can do it. And even if they stay in the hospital, whatever, it's just to encourage them to, or empower them to be more than just like a statistic and be more than just like having to do it because I can't do it. Like, I can't do anything else. So that's probably the biggest thing for that I see. But I think more first-time moms are asking questions too. I mean, just moms in general. Since I feel like home births have increased a ton and natural births have increased a ton over the past few years, that it's really opened a lot of people's eyes to a different way of birthing too. And I think that's amazing because, I mean, that's the whole reason why I'm here too. Like, I want to be that education resource for them as well as a support person, so that they can make the best, like, informed choice that they can.
Yeah, for sure. And you're right. I love what you said about pain and like the mindset. I think that was the biggest takeaway for me after I gave birth was like, wow. I knew how powerful the mind-body connection was, like being an exercise science major, and then I was a yoga instructor for many years, and like so I understood that and I always believed in it, but after giving birth I was like, whoa, like this is way stronger and more connected than I could have ever imagined. And there's science to back that up with like the way that we are thinking about and conceptualizing pain and like the experience that we're going through is going to make the physical sensation different, literally. Like if we are fighting it and in fear and not in control and scared and tensing, it's going to feel more intense versus surrendering and knowing that every single contraction is your baby and just the way that you're kind of consistently reminding yourself of all those things is so powerful, or even just the believing that you can do something is powerful in so many aspects of life, right? And it does come down to that, like holding on to your why and why you wanted this experience. And if you change your mind, that's completely fine too, right? It's not about like having a certain outcome to prove anything to anybody. But the reason why moms choose this is like very nuanced, and there's a lot more to it than just like getting a trophy or saying that they did it. You know, it is a really empowering thing to come out of it being like, wow, I did that. I mean, the same way you would training for and running a marathon. Like, I have no desire. I have so many friends that are runners. I'm like, yeah, I have zero desire to ever do that. Like, that is not something I find fun. You know, you don't have to run 26 miles, right? Like, did you know that? So that, like, I think that's such a good analogy for birth too. And they're like, no, I want to do this because I want to feel like I accomplished something. I want to do this for my health. I want to, whatever their reasons are. I think it's the same in birth, right? It's mental. There's physical benefits to it. There's mental benefits to it. And if you don't finish the race, you don't finish the race, and that's okay. You tried, you know? Well, lastly, I just want to wrap up with, you touched on your faith, and I know we share our faith in common, but I'd love for you to just maybe touch on like how you've incorporated yours into both like the way that you work as a doula with others who might share your faith, or just in general, like in the way that you view birth as a whole.
So as far as like with my clients, I do have it out there. Like when booking clients, I let them know that I am a Christian doula because I don't want me to start having appointments with them and it get brought up and then be like, oh, well, you know, I'm not that way. And that's totally fine. But that's what I include in my, I have a labor guide that I give to all my clients, and like that stuff I put in there, I put in scripture. I give them access to like all my like biblical birth affirmations that I have made. And so they can, you know, cut those out and have them at their birth, all these different things. I share with them like a biblical birth playlist, and it's like all these songs that are just scripture based, and just soothing, you know, quiet music type of thing. But I love to be able to pray with my clients too. And so far, like I haven't had anyone who is opposed to anything like that. And it's just cool because we get to bond much more than just like being a doula and a client, because we're bonding with our faith, which is the number one most important thing in our lives. And so I think being able to like start each appointment with them with prayer and ending it with prayer is really awesome, because it just keeps everything centered around and focused around him rather than like our own personal desires. And yes, we definitely have those in pregnancy and birth, but just to be able to know like when we're weary or when we have fear, that we can, you know, turn to him. And so I try to just keep that as far as my part of my empowerment towards them, to root all of that kind of stuff in scripture. And that way we don't lose focus in like the worldly things that we tend to get caught up in, that I don't feel like need to be a part of their experience. And so I do stuff like that. And I also just, as far as personally, when I had my third and was just going through everything, like I think that was the only way I was able to get through all of it and keep my mind at ease, because there wasn't really fear. Like I was pretty set on that's what I wanted to do, but there's still a lot of unknowns and you don't know what's going to happen. And so to get over that, like I would just pray and I would be able to make sure, you know, I understood like God is protecting me. He, you know, has created this child for this family. We're going to be good parents because he has made us great parents, and all of that. And it's kind of affirmations to myself, in that way, but just being reminded that like our bodies were designed to do this. They weren't designed to be hooked up to 500 machines if we didn't want that. And if it wasn't medically necessary, like we births have been natural for a very long time, before hospitals even came along. And with that come other circumstances where maybe the outcomes weren't positive, but, at the same time, like birth has been happening since, you know, the beginning. So, it's just awesome to know, like, it's another thing that I get to incorporate my faith into. And I never thought that I would be able to incorporate my faith into my work, like I have been. So it's been really great.
That's so awesome. Yeah. And I'm sure that just only makes your clients feel even more like supported and heard if they know that they share that with you. And it's like a safe space for them. And like having someone that can pray over them is amazing. I remember at one point in labor feeling like, I need someone to pray over me right now because I don't know if I'm going to make it. But yeah, I wanted to highlight too what you said about, you know, our bodies were made for this. And like, of course, there are now circumstances in this modern day where it's like, thank goodness we have the technology, right? That's not what we're saying here. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to invalidate that, right? But on the contrary, I think that was something that I kept going back to mentally, to know I was in a low risk scenario. Like I didn't have anything mm-hmm. that would have made things complicated. I kept telling myself, like, if every woman before you has done this, you can do this. You know, I remember having this moment of thinking, wow, like so many other women have come before and gone through this exact experience. And how freaking cool is that? Like now I just felt like so connected to. It sounds so woo, yeah. But I was like, I just feel so much more connected to like all the moms out there now who have done this before. We've all felt these things, and that, like, how cool mm-hmm. is that? So I just wanted to highlight that too, because it's so true. It's, I always get wary of when I bring up this subject, because I think people who have needed interventions or didn't have an experience like this, or didn't have a choice but to have interventions, right? And I would never want anyone to feel like we're negating that or invalidating it or not encouraging people to do whatever the heck they feel most comfortable doing. Yeah. But I feel strongly about encouraging the women who have questions and who do desire this for themselves, because everyone deserves the support regardless of what their hopes are for their birth experience.
Oh yeah. I mean, my first two, I did most of the interventions. Well, with my first one, it was basically everything. Yeah. And my second almost, you know, the same. So, I mean, I definitely, like, if you need to use medical staff in a hospital, you need to have a C-section, like all these things, of course, like you were saying, we don't want to say that I guess it's more generalized low risk, you know,
yes,
who we're talking to that's open-minded to just seeing what other options are out there. And I think that's what it takes too, because I mentioned this earlier, but I wasn't ever closed-minded to birth. I just didn't know.
Right.
So I feel like if I would have known, then my first one might have even been all natural. I mean, looking back, I think, like, I was at a 6 when I got to the hospital with him, and I'm thinking, like, okay, that was great for my first baby. If I was able to do that at home and work through those pains at home, like, I could have probably done that, you know? And then with my third, I was at a 9 when I got to the hospital, and but I was more mentally prepared than, to get through it. But with that third baby, like you were saying, I just felt more connected to him too, because I was able to feel it all. And I was able to get in my comfortable spot, you know, and they let me move as I needed. And so I just felt like, instead of laying there on my back like I did the last two, and felt just kind of like defeated already. I don't know if that's the right term either, but just kind of felt like, oh, they're sticking me here until I have the baby, you know, mm-hmm. and there's nothing I can do about it. I'm so glad that I just looked into things a little bit further, because I think that my third one was my best experience, and it was probably the one that, looking back, like, it could have been my worst experience because I was feeling it all. Mm-hmm. And if I wasn't able to take a hold of the pain and realize, like, that this will be over soon, and to get all those mental, you know, parts of it out of my head and surround myself in prayer and stuff like we had mentioned, then I don't think I would have been able to do it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I say this all the time too, like, especially I feel like now that I'm going into this a second time now, it was just so much more like perspective. I can now go in and be like, this will end. There is an end in sight to this. Whereas mm-hmm. I felt like my first time, it was just like, you don't know what the heck to expect. And when you're in it, you just feel like that's where you live now. Like, there's no escaping almost, you know? And
yeah.
I did sometimes feel myself like slipping out of, not like control, but I would just kind of like get disconnected from the fact, like, okay, this is your baby, you're in labor, like, this is what's going to happen and this will end. I just like entered this zone almost, like, I didn't know mm-hmm. who was in the room, who was touching me, and I needed someone to keep telling me, you're having a baby, like, this is what you're feeling, you know? Because then when he was born, I was like, oh yeah, wow, okay, yeah, he's here now, this is what I just did. So anyway, I think it's just going to be cool going into it with a perspective of like, okay, this is going to end, and in the grand scheme of things, it may be the most challenging physically, but this is the shortest hard thing you'll do, because things are only going to get harder in postpartum. Like, I said I would rather do another several 30-hour inductions than what some parts of postpartum felt like, truly.
Yeah.
And I don't want to scare any first-time mamas listening to this, but, like, I wish that I had gone into that experience. I did a lot of prep for birth, but I wish I had done just as much, not or even more, for the flip side of things, because
yeah,
there's just nothing you can do to, like, fully grasp what it'll feel, look like and feel like. And, you know, mm-hmm. your friends and your family can tell you left and right that it's going to be hard, but it's not going to fully land and, like, resonate until you're in that. So just go into it with an open mind, knowing that, like, hey, maybe it'll be good to look into this a little bit the same way you mm-hmm. do with your birth and your pregnancy, because that's when things feel a little more crazy. And you don't yeah. have someone supporting you the whole time, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they call it a fourth trimester for a reason.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and again, like, I didn't know about that my first, yeah. I mean, I knew what postpartum was, but I didn't know, like, postpartum depression. Didn't even think that I was going through something like that until I had my second and my postpartum was so much better. And then I was like, oh yeah, I did. But again, that's where we can step in and help with that too, and bring more awareness to that through our, you know, appointments and with our clients and follow-ups with them. And that's one thing that I like to do is to, and there are postpartum doulas too that are specific to this, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And they help out in more ways than I do.
Yeah.
And so that's definitely something to look into, but just having someone that you can, like, debrief your birth with, and just, again, it's mental as well, to go through all of the things that happened and just to check on you, I guess, you know, you need someone like that.
Yeah. Especially because, you know, you go from in your pregnancy, you're checked once a month and then every 2 weeks and then every week, and then you have your baby and it's like, see you in 6 weeks. And a lot can happen in 6 weeks, and 6 weeks in postpartum feels like 6 years sometimes in some scenarios, not all, I'm sure. But for me, it felt like a really, really, really long time. Like, I lived a million different seasons, and every single day, everything is constantly changing. Our hormones are changing. Your whole identity is shifting. You know, there's so much that goes into it. So yes, if you have a doula, like, lean on their support. And even if it's just, you know, you have that postpartum follow-up, I tell my clients, like, just because I have that one follow-up with you doesn't mean I'm not, like, always your doula now. So
yeah,
still reach out to me, still call me if you need that support, still feel free to check in, because sometimes you just need someone who will listen and can, like, help you process and just understand to some capacity what it is you're going through.
Yeah. I this month is actually the first month I'm starting the Motherhood Collective. So it's like a support group for moms, and it's just in all seasons of motherhood, but I wanted it to be more for those moms with new babies, so they would be able to connect with other moms in the area that are going through the same stuff, or maybe they can resonate with, you know, beyond me as well. Because coming from not being from here and not knowing anybody, and we moved here when our youngest was a little over one. Yeah, he was like 1 and 2 months or something like that. And you felt so alone, and, like, he was still so tiny, and so you had to take him everywhere, and I was still nursing and all this stuff. That I just was in a spot where I felt like I didn't know anybody, didn't have anybody. And my husband's working, so, like, who do I talk to? Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be like a monthly thing. And I'm hoping that since we're kind of away from a big city, that we get to get all these small towns that are having moms that go kind of under the radar because they don't get into many programs because there's not a lot out there if you're not in a city, and just be there for one another. And it is still based in faith. And so it's kind of not a Bible study, but it's that kind of, you know, small group aspect. And we just get to pray with each other and be there for each other and talk about all things motherhood and birth and all of that.
Yeah, that's amazing. You'll have to send me the info for it and I can link
that
in the show notes for moms listening. Well, speaking of all that, why don't you go ahead and just plug the rest of the ways that people can connect with you if they'd like to after listening?
Yeah. So my Instagram is where I post most of like my educational content and things like that. And that's at Roaring Motherhood. And then my website is just roaringmotherhood.com. And like I said, I serve most of East North Carolina, but I'm also a childbirth educator. So I have online courses that are just like work at your own pace. And those are available on my website too.
Awesome. Well, again, I'll link everything in the notes too for quicker access. But thank you so much, Marissa, for coming on and sharing your story with everybody. Thank you all for listening. And we will chat with you next week. Bye.